This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Pettersson settles right wing boards towards the net, shoots, he scores! A laser beam off the stick of Elias Pettersson goes off the post and in. Comes back to Zetterlund at the line, he passes right point for Ceci, slap shot near circle, got through Demko and it's in. Cody Ceci. Ripped a shot from the near circle. It rolls over the goal line behind Thatcher Demko, and it's a 4-2 game.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Celebrini back into the Vancouver zone. Shot off the left wing. Stopped by Demko. Rebound in front for Cunning. Blocked off the skate of Ceci. Toffoli right circle. Drops to Celebrini. One-timer. Stopped by Demko. Rebound. They score. Luke Cunning on the left circle with 4.7 seconds left. Beats a sprawling Demko to make it a one-goal game. It's 4-3.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks defeat the San Jose Sharks on home ice to have a victory ahead of the Christmas break. It's Satyar Shah with Vic Nizar going to bring in Randeep Janda into the conversation in just a moment. And the postgame show, as always, is presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And this was a game that it featured two goals from Elias Pettersson. The San Jose Sharks scored a couple goals in the third, one late one as well, to make it 4-3 in the end. So got a little bit dicey, a bit in the last minute of the game, but the Canucks do come away with the victory here tonight. But also a bit of a question mark because Elias Pettersson left the game in the third period and did not return. So we're awaiting some word on what his status is. So big win for the Canucks. They needed it because of the skit they've gone through. A lot of drama around the team. But now we have another question around Elias Pettersson, this time about his health potentially.
Yeah, and a great game for Pettersson, especially in the second period there. I love the decisiveness on the power play. Love the fact that they scored off the rush, and he was once again decisive on that 3-1 goal as well. But, of course, anytime the player who has a pretty good game leaves the game, doesn't play for the majority of the third period, there are some questions, but the good thing for this team is they've got a bit of a break here, so whatever the issue may be, you've got a couple of days hopefully to rest it off.
Yeah, certainly though, like the performance is what I want to focus on. Yep. Like that second period, he just looked a little bit different, right?
Confident.
And the confidence on that first goal, obviously the second one's so nice, but I just love that it was on the stick, off the stick, rebound was there, and I know that opportunity presents itself with the rebound, but just no wasted time and no wasted motion in that moment. So that was nice to see.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what, you know, both of those goals coming off the rush too, guys, for Vancouver prior to the power play one, the Sherwood and Pettersson one. So just I love the fact that he goes top corner on that one. To your point, on the stick, off the stick, and then with emphasis.
Yeah, and you know, especially the second one, and we don't have the audio yet. We'll try to get it a bit later. But during the Prime broadcast, because the game wasn't on TV, on Sportsnet, it was on Amazon Prime, and between periods after the second, when he scored the goal, he met with the Prime broadcast.
Yeah, Shane Knighty, I believe, was doing the interview.
Yeah, and he mentioned that it was nice for him to score the goal, that he still has it in him himself. Like, it kind of shows you that confidence can be fleeting even for the most talented players in the world. And Pettersson, obviously a bit of a crisis of confidence in his shot. So I think him picking his corner on that meant a lot to him. And hopefully when he's back, whenever that is, hopefully it is the first game back after the break, that he's not afraid of shooting and feels better about his shot.
Well, one of those things as well is that it took maybe half a second for him to be like, all right, if you're going to give me the space, I'm going to walk into it and let her rip. And he goes, you know, glove side on the right-handed goaltender, Askarov. And that's something that, you know, I love to see that, where if you give him that little bit more room, a couple of feet to kind of glide in and then really get some torque behind that shot, that's the Pettersson we know, guys. That's the guy that if you give him half a second, if you give him, you know, that room. And how many times did we see that in his first couple years in the league, especially? I remember whether it was Mackenzie Blackwood or, you know, we're going back to Pekka Rinne in Nashville. There are games where you're saying, doesn't matter who you are, you could be one of the best goaltenders on the planet, you ain't saving that. So saw a little bit of that tonight from him.
Yeah, I think we got a text from Tyler in the second intermission just saying, like, it felt like the first time we've seen that moment where he just picks his spot, and it's such a hard shot. He's so good at it, and he's so accurate with it. You know, it's been few and far between to see him, you know, pick that spot and just rip it like that.
Well, and it was also a very tight hockey game, right? I mean, there was a flurry of goals late in the second period, mm-hmm. two of them scored by Elias Pettersson. But before that, two of the most exciting things that happened in the game were two tilts.
Yep.
Tyler Myers fought Barkley
Goodrow, yeah.
had a massive hit on William Eklund when the Canucks were on the PK, and Eklund ends up scoring because they get a 5-on-3. So he gets his so-called revenge, and then off the faceoff a bit later when the Canucks tied it at 1, Boudreau fought Myers. Clearly goes back to that big hit he had on Eklund. And then things got even spicier in the second. And, you know, we spoke to Kiefer Sherwood during the second intermission on the 650 broadcast, and he mentioned, you know, that entire sequence where Dellandrea hit Teddy Bluger with the interference call and Heinen jumped in and fought Dellandrea, that really woke the guys up. And he said that showed that we were fighting for each other tonight. And he felt like that really kickstarted their offense.
Yeah, you love to see that from a teammate where he says, hey, that's clearly interference. You could argue there could have been more. I know Rick Tocchet was arguing that as well. But from a teammate perspective, jumping in there right away, getting in there, that wakes guys up. And I thought Vancouver did a good job of initiating the physicality in the first period. We talk about the Tyler Myers hit, but there was a number of plays where they were finishing their check. They're the ones that were trying to send the message. San Jose responded, and then Heinen steps up there and makes that play. I thought, overall, that's how you get a little bit more from your guys. And Kiefer Sherwood plays that game. He's no stranger to that. He's initiated a lot in his career and this year specifically. But I felt physically this team did need some of that early on in this game. They started it. And in a way, San Jose pushing back probably says, all right, this is not going to be easy night. We got to bring our best physically. And I think Vancouver responded as well.
Yeah, we mentioned pregame. Like, San Jose is not an easy out, despite them being lower in the standings.
Yeah,
they're significantly different than what we've seen for a couple of seasons. They play hard. They can play chippy like we saw tonight. And, you know, a phrase that or a word we haven't used very often is connected or together. A certain level of togetherness was on display from the team, obviously standing up for your guys and making sure you're, you know, supporting them after a hit on Bluger. Myers steps up on a hit and he has to stand and face the music in that moment. So there was a collectiveness in tonight's performance.
Yeah, there was, right? And I think that's the thing you want to see for them, that fight in their game. And obviously, you know, the status of Quinn Hughes coming into this game was uncertain. The coach mentioned that he was a game-time decision. And I don't know if you could tell that he was hurt or anything. I didn't notice Quinn Hughes not being Quinn Hughes tonight. And he chipped in with a couple points again. So he was banged up, as we know,
yeah.
But he certainly didn't let it get in the way of his performance tonight.
Yeah, just watching him in warm-ups, you could see he was trying to test out the stick handling and the passing. He was doing a lot of that. And, you know, usually you don't see Quinn Hughes fan on pucks a little bit. So a couple of moments you're saying, is that just the luck of the bounce or is there something going on there? But look at the time on ice, guys. He played over 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So in terms of skating and conditioning and all that and usage, he's still up there. He's above his season average. And he was still creating opportunities. He was still, you know, breaking ankles out there. I believe Will Smith was one player that fell victim to that. One area that I think maybe we didn't see him as aggressive was on the power play. There were sometimes some lanes there, and it just felt like he was maybe not taking that shot as often.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not saying he shouldn't shoot the puck a lot because he's been tremendous, right? But we've talked about how sometimes maybe there's an over-reliance on the power play for him to get the shot off. And tonight, not that the power play was perfect. It was a 5-on-3. You want to get that look, right? But I thought they were moving the puck well. I thought the puck movement was happening. They had a couple seam passes. Could have been a bit tighter, but for instance, on the first power play, Pettersson got a one-timer chance from JT. On the second power play, Pettersson made a nice pass from behind the goal line, backhand play to JT, who just missed the net on it. So there were some nice passing sequences that happened, and I'm not saying Quinn shouldn't shoot the puck, but they were moving the puck around a lot better, at least on the man advantage.
Yeah, I do wonder if that's one of two things, though. Is that more of a strategy of, hey, we're going to mix it up, or is that a player potentially dealing with a hand injury saying,
right,
I can't be as aggressive as I normally am? But to your point, whatever the case was, there was some variety there. On that first power play, you mentioned the JT Miller chance, the Elias Pettersson chance, and then the in tight on JT Miller, the pass, that really quick decision, a little backhand sauce from Elias Pettersson. You like that. There was a lot of zone time on that first power play, too, Sat.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, even though they were able to create one half chance, they were still trying to figure it out on that first power play. So it was a work in progress. They eventually got around to it. But if you can add some variety, both, especially on the flanks, the right flank and the right flank, you're in a situation where you don't need Quinn to shoot that much. And as we saw today, if Pedersen can get that shot off from the right-hand side, if Miller can get a heavy slap shot sometimes off, or a wrister, it just makes you that much more dangerous. So whatever the reason was, whether it was Quinn dealing with the injury, whether it was just adding more variety to the attack, I think there's something there. They just got to be confident with that.
We say that. It still winds up being 7 shot attempts tonight from Quinn Hughes. And 7 minutes and 51 seconds on the power play. Yeah. Again, he does take 4 shots on the power play. I don't know if any of them ended up on net here specifically. No, all 4 missed. But still, look, him being the hinge point tonight helped, I thought, in a great deal. Because
totally.
He's kind of done that last couple of games. And obviously, on the 5-on-3, you just see how much free space JT Miller had to create with Brock Besser down low. Obviously, they try to get it to Garland in the middle. Winds up being part of a sequence that leads to the initial Elias Pettersson goal.
Well, let's go outside the Canucks locker room where we're joined by local boy from Langley, BC, and a big part of the Canucks in the game tonight beating the San Jose Sharks 4-3. It is Danton Heinen. Danton, always a pleasure getting you on the postgame show, man. And, you know, as far as the emotion in this one, these two teams aren't bitter rivals or anything, but there wasn't a lot of love lost coming into this one, it felt like.
No, yeah. You know, I think you kind of started there with Mizey, you know, throwing a big hit and kind of got everybody going. And you never know in these games right before Christmas. And but, you know, everyone was in it, and it was a fun one.
I know the boys here talked to Kiefer in the intermission, and he talked about how you guys love these types of games. Does that get a little bit more out of you when it's a physical game like that?
Yeah, I mean, Woody for sure. I mean, he's a guy that's usually running around and stirring it up. But, yeah, no, it's always – you always want to be in intense games and, you know, bigger moments. So that's – you know, that makes it fun.
Kiefer was quick to mention, again, your fight. You jump in that moment. And, you know, we were just chatting before you came on with us. It felt like there was a togetherness tonight that maybe we haven't seen all season. Just talk about your moment there and why stuff like that is so important.
Yeah, I think kind of like I said, you know, it's before Christmas. We want to end on the right foot. And, you know, I think, yeah, we're a team that, you know, wants to stand up for each other. And we thought it was a little bit of a high hit there. And, you know, it is what it is. So. Just move on, and yeah, it's kind of what we want to do is stand up for each other, and that's about it.
Well, you've been able to pick up some points now the past 5 or 6 games, and that line alongside obviously Teddy Bluger and Kiefer Sherwood, like what gives you guys that kind of chemistry that allows you to make such an impact the way you have the past few games?
Yeah, I think those guys are 2 smart players. You know, Woody obviously with his speed, and he gets on the forecheck and creates a lot, but he can make plays, and you know, Teddy, you saw tonight, made a great play on his goal. So I think we're just kind of on the same wavelengths, and you know, trying to talk to each other, trying to gain that chemistry, and trying to, yeah, I guess build that chemistry.
We talk a lot about Kiefer in this town, obviously, because he's scoring a lot of big goals, but Teddy maybe not so much defensively, and you hear a lot about his intellect in the game. When you play alongside him, it feels like, you know, everybody gets just a little bit better. What is it about Teddy's game that just makes him a great teammate to play next to?
Yeah, no, 100%, you're right. I think you got to play with him to kind of appreciate the, you know, the little things in his game that he does. You know, he's got such a good stick. You know, he's such a smart player, and you know, like you said, he makes guys around him better, and you know, just tries to play that solid game, and he cares so much. So you know, it's a great guy to play with, and you know, hopefully we can try to, you know, keep it going.
So what's the move in the locker room? Is it Secret Santa, or do you guys have a $20 budget? What's the play here?
Yeah, Secret Santa, we did that already. So that's good fun. That's good team bonding, and now it's some time with the family.
Well, you mentioned family. This is your first Christmas playing as a Vancouver Canuck in the city. What do you have in store? You don't have to travel home for a short break or anything like that. You are home.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I'll go back to Langley, to my parents, and my siblings will be there. And it's been a while since I've been home for Christmas. So, you know, my mom's happy, my parents are happy, and I'm excited to get a few days with them.
Hey, that's awesome. And Danton, always appreciate your time. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and best of luck when you guys come back on the weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. That is Danton Heinen tonight. And, you know, before we break, and, you know, we'll get to the head coach on the other side and a lot to dig into. And, again, Elias Pettersson's status remains unclear. We're getting a lot of questions about it. We don't quite yet have an update. We'll get it to you as soon as we get the update. update on Pettersson and his status and the fact he didn't return. But we spoke about this on the pregame show, right, Randeep, about how, okay, there's some struggles in the Canucks top six, but one thing they have been getting is bottom line contributions down the lineup. You know, Heinen's got some points. Kiefer Sherwood, we know what he's done. And that line specifically, Sherwood with Bluger and Heinen. I mean, if you talk about fourth lines, it's about as good as it gets. But as far as the impact they made for this team, another strong game from that trio.
For sure. And what I loved about that Kiefer Sherwood play and that goal specifically was, hey, Hoglander wins a battle along the wall. And when we're talking about players needing points, Hoglander gets his first in 21 games, which is a big confidence boost for him. But then Teddy Bluger, you know, Danton was just talking about a quick decision, acknowledging that his teammate is, you know, going into the zone or neutral zone with speed, hit him with that pass. And when a player like Sherwood is feeling it, you get him the puck as much as you possibly can. And with Sherwood, what I like about his finish, guys, is he does it different ways. Mm-hmm. He's been clearly a threat in transition. A lot of his goals have come on, you know, through off the rush, but we've seen him strike off a faceoff win, a quick strike, you know, quick trigger there. So he's not afraid to, you know, pepper the net with shots and throw it towards the net. So I love the confident play that he's showing. But to me, it's just how connected that line has been playing. They play, you know, pretty close together when they have zone time. But that was a classic example right there where Bluger recognizes who's on his right wing and says, this guy's feeling it. He's got speed. I'm giving him the puck. And that's an understanding that they have.
Notice here recently he's shooting a lot more off the rush as well. And there's a couple of games ago, he registered just shy of 90 miles an hour on a wrist shot that was kind of off the rush. Like that, all right, that's something to not note down tonight. 82.5 miles an hour on that shot that goes in, and so you think, oh, well, that's pretty nice for him. As you mentioned, like he scored in a variety of different ways, and I like that you asked about Teddy Bluger. It feels like this year he is the stabilizing force on any line. Yep. Like he goes in, and that line just clicks and works.
Even last year when we were talking about Garland and Joshua, right? Like who was the centerman for that line where they were the best third line in hockey? But I feel like, and you know, the game that really stood out to me when we started to notice Kiefer Sherwood's wrister and how heavy it is. Remember that game against the Rangers where he stung Shesterkin? I don't think Shesterkin saw that that coming either, and it kind of hit him in the mask a little bit or near the collarbone, and that was the moment saying, okay, there's a heavy shot there coming off the wrister, and some of the best goalies in the NHL, if not the best goalie in the world, did not expect that. And that's kind of an eye-opener when his peers are saying, oh, that guy's got that in his repertoire, and since then he's just started to add more and score goals.
Yeah, 100%. And Randeep, we'll leave it at that because the game ended so late. We're behind, so we've got to hit the break here and come back on the other side. But before we let you go, happy holidays to you and yours. Thanks for all the contributions as always, and we look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Likewise, team, and I'd say that to you, Lena, and Sat, Bick, of course, but also the listeners as well. It's awesome to be on these airways, and it's been a fantastic year. So we'll talk to each other before 2025 hits. But Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and talk soon, guys.
Thanks, Janda Claus.
Hey, I was about to go in voice here for a second, but I'm not going to.
Save it for later.
Save it for later. Once a year on Hockey Night Punjabi.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks so much. That is Randeep Janda. The Canucks beat the San Jose Sharks 4-3 on home ice before hitting the Christmas break. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. We'll have more on the other side. We'll hear from the Canucks head coach. More of your reaction to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Your toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. This is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. We'll be back right here on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Bick Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Side of the goal for Besser. Has room played it in front. Garland threw it right on. Stopped by Askarov. Rebound. Forced to the near boards, and Hughes gets it. To the left circle for Miller. Trying to pass to the back door for Pettersson. Tipped away by Goodrow. Pettersson settles right wing boards. Towards the net. Shoots. He scores! Laser beam off the stick of Elias Pettersson goes off the post and in for his second of the game. And the Canucks get a 5-on-3 power play goal to take a 4-1 lead.
rocket with the wrist shot from Elias Pettersson as the Canucks were looking dangerous on this power play. First, it's Besser to Garland, and Askarov makes a save, but they reload. Elias Pettersson given room on the left-hand side as they just don't close on him, and he says, thank you very much, going glove-hand side on Askarov. Real confident play by Elias Pettersson off the post and in to make it 4-1 Vancouver.
Canucks go on to win 4-3 over the Sharks here at Rogers Arena, and this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll get to your phone calls coming up in a second, and we'll get to your texts here as well. And we are awaiting more word on Elias Pettersson, who left the game after scoring two goals. His final shift, we watched it with a very close eye numerous times and didn't see anything. There was one sequence at the end where early on he falls into the boards a little awkwardly, but he pops up so quickly and shows no reaction that I'm not sure that's it. You noted watching it live that he took a bit of a turn in the neutral zone.
I was keeping an eye on him in that shift just out of coincidence. And
you mean you were doing your job and watching the game out of coincidence?
No, I didn't know that was going to be his last shift, but I just happened to be like isolating on him.
I get it.
And again, not like a weird turn that he looked like he was physically something bothering him. It was just the way the sequence of the play was. He took kind of a sharp turn in the neutral zone just before the red line. Again, like I couldn't imagine like that's the thing that troubled him.
Yeah, and didn't take a lot of face-offs this game. Is there something, you know, upper body-wise that's bothering him or something? Who knows? I've seen Daniel in Vancouver, Mac in Nova Scotia mention. Did he get pulled because there's a trade? There's a holiday trade freeze. So it definitely wasn't a trade that's happened in the moment. You know what I mean? So for those wondering, you know, it's one of those things. I doubt that he got traded when there's a holiday trade freeze a day before Christmas Eve. So I don't think that's the case, but we'll find out if it is anything serious or whatever the situation is with
maybe he just wanted a head start on his Christmas shopping.
Perhaps. Yeah. You know, maybe. Maybe that's what he's
so
looking
for. So behind on my list.
He's like you. You have your holiday shopping coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you're in trouble there, buddy.
Bright and early.
Yeah, man. I couldn't imagine.
That's why I appreciate the 6 o'clock start today.
No kidding. Okay. We spoke, obviously, about Pettersson scoring. It was an emotional game, and we chatted with Danton Heinen. Good for the Canucks to pick up the 2 points. We mentioned how it was very quiet to start the game. Not a lot was going on the first period or so. Teams traded goals. There was a power play goal on the 5-on-3 by the Sharks. Hughes made a good play. We'll break down the goals a bit later to get Besser the puck for the tying goal initially in the first period. But in the third, the Canucks didn't have much of a push, and some people are saying, how about how they played in the third? A real team would have beat us, for example. We blew a 4-1 lead against San Jose. So there is some criticism about how the Canucks were, and Mike texts in and says, Canucks didn't generate enough scoring chances tonight, didn't like how they played. So there is a bit of a mixed review about their overall performance. Yeah, and it wasn't this, I'd say, convincing, win over the Sharks and that they dummy them all night, and the Canucks showed some good things. They showed some things that obviously is still a work in progress. It's more about, you know, picking out the good things in a game like this, like Pettersson getting a couple of goals and the Canucks showing some emotion and fighting back and sticking up for another and whatever. But by no means was this perfect type of performance that you can look at and say it's a tone-setting, you know, high-end performance. So I get people criticizing the third, but, you know, let's be fair. The third goal was scored with how many seconds left? 4?
4.7.
So, I mean, yes, they scored technically, but it wasn't really like the game was ever in doubt.
No.
After the 4-2 goal, even just to be fair about that,
the
right?
The texter is saying that they blew the lead. They quite literally didn't blow the lead because they won the game in regulation.
And I get it. This team, when they had the lead, you know, they have a tendency of not pushing forward. Even the coach has spoken about that, right? So I get the criticism, but let's also be fair about the fact that I don't think at any point in the last minute the game was ever really in contention, right? Like the lead was sizable even with 2 goals at that stage. What else are you seeing in the text inbox before we go to the phone boards?
650-650 if you want to text in tonight. Gaffer and Coquitlam, good win by the boys tonight. Hope Pettersson's not out too long. Is it just me or is Desharnais taking a small step forward in the last few games? You and I were chatting about this during the game as well, just amongst ourselves. that, yeah, just it feels simplified and feels just quicker right now for Vinny Desharnais, and making good physical plays as well against the end boards.
Yeah, and I think he's been a lot safer the last few games, and I think he's made some good clean plays as well. So you got to give credit where it's due. It hasn't been fantastic, but in the limited minutes he's played, he's been a lot more solid lately, Vinny Desharnais has.
Brandon in Vancouver, don't like how we defend leads. Too many times the game gets close. You know, I was looking at this today. You know, it's funny, too, because they're like their expected goals when playing with a lead look really nice, but the actual output is not reflective of how low event it can look. They have given up goals, and, yeah, even tonight, like 4-1, they give up two goals in the third. Like, that to me would be my one qualm. It's like, just seal it.
Yeah.
But again, it's like you have a three-goal lead in this spot. They did the job of getting the 2 points in regulation, but it is weird because even like it wasn't like onslaught there by the Sharks in the third period, but they get a goal late there, obviously, just to make it a little bit tighter than it actually looked. But it's a fair point by Brandon. A lot of people texting in like how these third periods look. I'm flummoxed of why like the disparity between the actual underlying numbers here versus what's actually going up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too, and I think that's something that obviously it was like we'll talk more about this as the show goes on. The Canucks very much still a work in progress. A lot of things have to improve, and one game against San Jose doesn't mean that Pedersen has refound his game completely. This Canucks are back to, you know, finding their game and going on a run. But it's still a positive, especially after the three games they had lost heading into the Christmas break, and perhaps it can be a reset, helping the team really get back on track. This text here says, very proud of JT and Petey meeting pressure with pressure. Despite the rift, they had a PlayStation-only meeting before the game. It made the difference tonight. Rick Tocchet. That's a text very much tongue firmly in cheek,
yeah,
about Elias Pettersson and JT Miller.
650, another jokes per 60 here. Thank you, JT, for the new PlayStation. Signed, Elias Pettersson.
Yeah,
get that PS5 or maybe it was a VR PS5.
Yeah, it could have been. It may as well have been. All right, I keep getting your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Let's grab a phone call or two as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. And let's go to Poco, where we have Holden on the line. Holden, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, Sat. I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. I don't want you to make you feel self-conscious or anything, but
do I detect
a little bit of a Scandinavian thing going on in your speech? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Sweden, so.
Okay, you probably figured out the P.D. Miller thing then already then, I'm sure. It's just a culture thing. Like, they just express emotion differently, you know? Like, don't we all, though?
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit X-Files-y, I don't know, but, you know. You know, it's just the Christmas spirit. You know what? I almost cried when we got the second one, just because it reminded me of a Michael Samuelson shot from Game 5 that I went to in 2010.
Against the LA Kings, right?
Yeah, against the Kings, exactly. Same ping.
Yeah.
So funny. But that's why I fell in love with hockey in the first place, man. Like, that's what it is. So that was my Christmas present, and I would just like to pass on spirit. A big inspiration for me, not that I went into broadcasting or anything, was Barry McDonald, one of the good guys, and because I was friends with his son. Brett, I don't know where you guys are, but God bless you both. Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to you guys. Thank you for allowing me the space to kind of have this rant and everything about that whole P.D. Miller thing. And thank God for this game, man, because we needed it. Don't worry about it. Toffoli's got quotas to make, man. Don't worry about almost blowing the lead. Don't worry about that. Merry Christmas to everybody. I'm so proud of us all for chanting Let's Go PD before you got the second one. Oh, my God. That was like, it was like a giant dump you just needed to let go of, right?
Hey, thanks. Hey, appreciate it, Holden. Thanks so much for the phone call. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you as well. When it comes to the whole Pettersson, JT Miller thing, I saw IMAC had a funny tweet about it too after Pettersson scored the first goal of the game, that JT gave him a pat with a stick. So it was like they celebrated together.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. This one here says, We just heading home after the game, thought Hoglander had a really nice game, lots of pressure from him and some nice takeaways. That's Patrick and South Surrey. And, you know, in fairness, even on, we'll break the goals down, like even on the Sherwood goal, there's some good plays there about Hoglander. Good work along the wall, and Hoglander had a good forechecking game, and for a guy who missed a couple of games being healthy scratched, he did have a bit more energy tonight, I thought.
I know he gets the assist on the goal in the second period. I thought his third period was the best one, because he's very energetic, and you know, while we're chatting about, okay, third period, not blown lead, but a couple of goals against, and you want to be aggressive in those moments. I thought the player that was probably most aggressive was Nils Hoglander, especially in the offensive zone. Just chipping bodies, being a nuisance, and playing a Nils Hoglander-style game. You're looking for moments for him right now. Obviously, he gets the point. First one in 21 games, which is massive, but ends up playing 11:44. And I'll bring it up through the periods here, because I feel like his third period he ends up only getting five shifts in the third period, but they felt noticeable the whole way.
Yeah, I thought he had a strong game. And Dave and Langley says he had a great game as well and thinks Tockett should play him in the top six and have him on power play two. Thinks it's crazy it hasn't happened. So there are a lot of people that believe in Hoglander and like Hoglander and happy with his performance here tonight. Let's take another phone call here. Let's go to Vancouver where we have Matt on the line. Matt, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us here tonight after a 4-3 Canucks win over the Sharks?
Guys, I just want to say every time we hear a play-by-play crew from outside of this market, we are all reminded just how good we have it here. Jim Robson, Jim Hewson, John Shorthouse, Rick Ball, people forget about him, he was good. Brendan Batchelor with Randeep, they're killing it. All the color guys have been great too. They're all examples of a play-by-play tradition we have here in Vancouver. They keep up with the play. They actually describe what's happening, and they've got this technical proficiency in the craft. They can actually speak so clearly and well. I mean, you guys do great on the post game show too. But you know, we just have high standards in this market for our media, and we're kind of a world unto ourselves that we should be proud of. And you know, I think for the most part, our local media is pretty darn good, and it's not a monolith. There's competing voices. Sometimes that leads to bad takes and sensationalism. But, you know, saying, you know, when you hear people say, oh, the media sucks, that's like a thought terminating cliche. We'd be better off to name names and speak in specifics in the good and the bad, and rather than generalities. And the funny thing, I mean, Drantz in the morning show was filling in this morning, talked about the national media makes these reports and then the local guys have to follow up in the scrum. And then they're the ones that get a bad rap. And we've seen that. I don't need to rehash, you know, something I don't even know much about. With this so-called controversy, maybe there's something, maybe there's not, but they named, you know, how Biz Nasty or Sarah Valley would say something. And then, I mean, he did, I must say, he noticed, he somehow left out Elliot Friedman from the list of national voices who've been stirring the pot. But I got to say, the local guys, there's good and the bad, but I like our media culture we have. And one last thing, IMAC on your post-game show last game, he talked about how the media-player relationship is different than it used to be.
Yeah.
And there used to be some more accountability, and just there was a collegiality and a professionalism there, even when things were tense and even when guys didn't necessarily like each other or like certain media members. But there's a number of factors that you would probably know better than me, but the big thing, I think, was that COVID season, it kind of created a discontinuity at around the same time that, of course, the Sedins had recently moved on. And it messed up that relationship, and it also gave an excuse to not really go back to how it was before. It's never going back to normal. And if there's anything we can take away from this whole P.D. Miller storyline, as I think it's been one of the rare misses in the Rutherford era, with PR, ever since probably this and the Boudreaux contract year that he didn't know about kind of thing coming up and whoa. But it's been this one thing. And I think if there's a big picture thing, perhaps the media could reconsider how they have the relationship with the media and the fans. And, you know, we love the fans. We pretend that we don't like the soap opera stuff. A lot of us, we are lying to ourselves if we say that. But there's good and there's bad, and I think there's a lot of good in the media, starting with the play-by-play. I don't want to say anything bad about the Amazon people. I don't know why they try to make like a baseball play-by-play culture coming into hockey. It doesn't fit, and I'm proud of the history of play-by-play we've got here, and all the rest. You guys do a good job too, and have a great rest of your show tonight.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the kind words, and best of the holidays to you as well. And we did not pay Matt to make that phone call. Matt did it on his own accord.
Yeah.
And Pumpkin Spice Boy, spiritual advisor. No, it's not AI. We didn't put AI to it. It's not ChatGPT. Okay? It's an individual person who called in and gave us some credit. So we'll take
also,
it.
Also, shout out to the couple of people who are texting into the inbox with pictures of Shorty, who's in the crowd today. So
yeah, shouts to Shorty. He took a picture of us from the booth as well and sent it to us. It was pretty grainy.
But the hardest working guy had a day off and still showing up at the ring.
Hey, listen, back together with family and had a chance to come to the game. And we know Shorty's an absolute legend who grew up watching this team. And Shorty's also the consummate professional. Like, he wants to be in the building as much as possible, and he knows what the fans want, and also keeping a close eye on the team he's going to be calling. I mean, like Matt mentioned, he's not the best for no reason. You know, there's a reason why Shorty is Shorty. I mean, you know, there's dedication to the craft. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll take more phone calls a bit later on as the show goes on as well. We are going to hear from the Canucks head coach, and that is coming up next. Has an update on Elias Pettersson. What happened to EP40 after scoring two goals, leaving the game in the third period? We'll get to that and more on the Canucks Central Post Game Show. Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. More next on Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He's got 12 in 34 for the Canucks this year. And Vancouver has the lead with under 4 minutes left in the second period as the fans begin to chant his name again. Now here's Pettersson to the San Jose line on right wing, chance for a 3-on-2. Passes left circle to Brest, threw it to the goal, kicked up by Askarov, rebound, Pettersson scores! Elias Pettersson didn't have a point in his last six games, but he wires it past Askarov. And it's 3-1, Canucks.
He's back with a bang as the Vancouver Canucks off the rush yet again. Pettersson enters the zone with speed. And after that, the first shot on goal from the left-hand side is Jake DeBrusk. But going for the rebound, Connor Garland battling in front of the net. He can't get the goal. But Elias Pettersson ends up sniping on the rebound to beat Askarov to make it 3-1 Vancouver.
Canucks go on to win 4-3 over the San Jose Sharks here at Rogers Arena. And this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. And as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. You can also grab a phone line 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. And, you know, obviously a lot of excitement in the text inbox and also some critique as well, as far as how the Canucks played this game, especially in the third period. But regardless, they got a couple goals from Elias Pettersson, but the big story remains Elias Pettersson's status. And obviously, the game running late tonight, we're up against the clock, so let's get to the head coach right now. Here's Rick talking at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
Rick, we saw 10 guys grabbing points across the board today, Thatcher Demko making 28 saves, I believe it was. How would you describe the team effort from this one?
I mean, they're a fast team. There's a good future. I mean, that kid's a hell of a player. That's a fast team, so I thought we handled it pretty well. You know, I thought the power play was big getting the goal. You know, Thatcher, solid. I think everybody contributed tonight. Obviously, our captain dealing with some stuff to play and get 2 points for us. You know, really proud of him. I mean, he sucked that up tonight.
Heinen taking the fight, stand up for Bluger. What does that say about the kind of teammate that he is?
Yeah, Myers and Heinen, you know, as a coach, you like that stuff, you know, stick up for each other. And that was a big moment for both those guys stepping in for us, fighting.
Elias left the game in the third period. What can you tell us?
Yeah, he got banged up. I think it was in the second. So he tried one shift and, you know, we got the break. So I don't think it's too bad. We'll see how it is.
And you've talked a lot lately about in some of the games you've lost, the other team's top players have made the big plays of the big moments. How nice was it to see a guy like him score a couple of big goals for you at a key time in the game?
Yeah, it's nice. Two great shots. You know, things like that loosen people up. You know, Joey, you know, hopefully that'll kickstart him and enjoy himself. You know, I thought, you know, obviously him, I like his celebration after. I like that. Get a little. It was nice to see a guy like him scoring like that and getting excited. I think the fans like to see that too.
Rick, I know there was a couple times we could hear Kiefer and Quinn calling for the pucks from the press box. What did you think of the communication between the team today?
Yeah, we talked about our regroups before the game. You know, I think the games we've struggled, we've had a tough time regrouping the puck. I thought we came back with a lot more speed. I think Hoggy, I thought Hoggy was one of Hoggy's best games. He came back and wanted the puck. Sherwood, obviously, we got some players like that. So for me, the regroups were better. Forecheck, I think we can get better at. Forecheck was just okay tonight, but I thought our regroups and most part, our defensive zone coverage was pretty good.
Speaking of the defensive zone, in the third period, they do get two goals back.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel like you let up a little bit in the third period?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a let up. We still got to get a hold of this. When a team's making a push, we got to be still making plays. You can't be happy if you just get it and throw it away. We're actually just talking about we might have to change some of our practice habits and as coaches and maybe have drills that actually you put pressure on a guy's got to make a play. I think that's something that we got to get better at. Teams are going to make presses, and you're going to have to make a play under pressure instead of just throwing away. That's something we do have to get better at.
Rick, after the last 2-3 games here, how important is it to go into this break with a win and a win like this, like with PD2 goals,
yeah.
Guys standing up for each other?
Yeah, no, it's nice. I told the guys after the game that, the waves aren't 12 feet. They're only like 3 or 4 or 5 feet. They're not 12 feet. The only guys that matter in the dressing room that make them, 5 feet. When you start a game where you're thinking too much, then it gets really rocky. So you gotta just relax, don't listen to the outside noise, and control what you control in the zone, in the dressing room.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown. From vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. So on Elias Patterson mentions, doesn't think it's anything big. He was dealing with something. He got banged up in the game a little bit, decided that they should rest him, and doesn't think it's a big deal. We'll see after the break. Hopefully it's not a big deal. People have been noting that it looked like he was wincing in pain on the bench after scoring the goal, and that he was fist bumping with his left hand as opposed to his right hand when he went up against the bench. It's always tough to read too much into these sort of things in a game, right? But noted. I get your text messages. I understand what you guys are mentioning here. So just to be fair and read the text messages from people on it. So we'll see exactly what it is.
But confirmation there from Rick Tocchet saying it happened in the second period.
Yes. And so we were looking at the last shift. We should be looking at the second to last shift. We'll go back and look at that and maybe see if we can spot the moment in time where perhaps he suffered the injury. But, of course, you just hope, Vic, that it is a short-term thing and that he's going to be back after the break because, after him scoring those two goals tonight and showing that wrist shot, people want to, want to see Pettersson regain his form again. And we mentioned that he said to the Amazon broadcast that it was nice for his confidence to know that he still has it. And just shows you that even if you're a high-paid, high-end athlete, when things don't go your way, confidence is fleeting. And you just hope that it's not a setback in what was a positive night for his confidence and his shot at least looking a lot better.
Yeah, and an acknowledgement there from Rick Tocchet, too, that he liked the celebration, right? Show some emotion. And we were chatting about this the other day, too, about the post-game scrum and all that, and Bungalow Jim referencing the last post-game saying maybe Petey just needs to show that emotion again. Like I love that part of him. That I know it has a certain image, but like I like that defiance and bring the emotion to the surface. If you want to play with more snarl, a little bit more gumption on the ice, you can't withhold that. And I like that there was a little celebration. Rick Tocchet, like, the fans liked it, and it got the people chanting his name here in the building as well. So bring the emotions to the surface.
Yeah, and fans had a good time. And, we've seen the fans be a little restless. They booed them off the ice against the Boston Bruins. There's been some dissatisfaction because there's been a lot of duds on home ice, and the home record hasn't been great so far this season, of course. But tonight, the emotion from the two fights, the crowd really came alive, right? And as soon as Pettersson scored, it was the loudest ovation of the night. You can tell the fan base wanted to get on Pettersson. They wanted to get behind Pettersson. They want to see that player shine again and excite them when they're at the game. And you can see him scoring and him looking more like the player we've seen in the past. It really gets the building going. And I thought the fans tonight were terrific. And, you know, they're chanting, "Let's go, Petey." They're chanting Kiefer Sherwood and even JT Miller. And they're having a good time. I know it's the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, we're not talking about this world-beating team or anything. But I thought the fans wanted to see something exciting from their top player tonight. They saw it. And I think they really showed that appreciation.
Yeah, 100%. And Rick Tocchet also mentioning, again, that's a fast team over there. And saying that they handled it pretty well, and if you came to the rink wanting to see the local product in Macklin Celebrini, you got 2 points out of that as well.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
He's fun. He made a couple really of impressive. Nice plays. Like, there was a nice rush up the left-hand wall in the second period that, you know, took your breath away. You're like, ooh, that's a special kind of burst, and I loved the pass that he made in the first period on a rebound. That kicked out to him on the right flank.
On the power play.
On the power play. And, you know, it'd be so easy for so many guys to get a nice shot off.
Yeah.
Just struggling with that, even just to get a shot off. But, you know, he had the wherewithal to try to look for that pass back door as Demko is working across right to left, trying to send a pass back the other way for what would have been an easy tap in, just on that processing in that moment. So he put on a nice show as well.
Yeah, and we got to do something cool tonight, Bick. We got to pick the three stars for this
game
tonight.
Yes. That's a cool career highlight. We get to do some fun stuff here. We never get to do it because it's usually Shorty and whoever's doing color that night. They came over to us. They're like, "Hey, do you guys want to do it?" We're like, "Yes,
yeah,
yes,
100%, 100%." We were excited when Trevor came to us and said, "Hey, you guys want to do this?" Like, 100%, we want to do this. So we picked Pettersson as the first star. Had the 2 goals. Quinn Hughes playing banged up. The captain got 2 assists. What a performance from him! And the third star, Macklin Celebrini. 2 points of the night, hometown boy, greasing the wheels for maybe perhaps in 6 years. You know, you want to come back home. Don't say we didn't do our part in trying to bring Macklin Celebrini back home to Vancouver.
People are going
to
blame us for the pro-PD propaganda as we put him a first star tonight.
Is this soft tampering? Should we be careful about this? Maybe we should be. All right, Justin from Fraser View says...
Yeah, why are you putting the stuff on record here?
Justin from
You're taking notes on a criminal conspiracy?
It's a RICO case all of a sudden. Justin from Fraser View. Everyone needs to chill on our third period. Our most statistically dominating center was out for most of that period. Bluger was being double-shifted, and we got the win. It was never in doubt. Justin from Fraser View. And I agree. Like, there was... The game being in doubt, it wasn't. Like, I know at no point, even when they scored the 4-2 goal, did I feel like this game was in doubt, so to speak. It goes back to the whole, when the Canucks have the lead, are they a bit too passive? You know, can they be a bit more expressive with their game, right, and do some more things? I think that's what it comes down to. But Saeed from Vancouver made the point that the Canucks looked tired in the third period. You know, they did play 3 games of 4 nights, 5 games in 7 nights. So it does add up after a while, right? And you hit the break. So maybe that plays a part into them being a little bit tired. But he's a bit worried, some of them, about how the Canucks have played. But, yeah, I think Justin Fraser View is correct in his assessment of that third period generally.
Well, I wanted to bring this up here, and I briefly alluded to it earlier today. And these are just 5-on-5 stats when teams are leading. And this is per expected goal. Sorry, this is per natural stat trick and expected goals against. The Canucks are now fourth in the league in expected goals against when they're leading at 5-on-5. So you think, all right, that's really positive. They swallow up chances and, you know, make it tough. But, like, the actual goals against, like, they slide down a little bit. So it's not up to fourth. And, like, that's a discrepancy when people are looking at this saying, like, yeah, you might look nice overall defensively, but there's actual goals against that's coming up. And, you know, at some point, like, what's going to match? Is the underlying numbers going to catch up to what the goals against, or are the goals against going to come down? So again, I'm not too bothered by especially the late one. It's 6-on-5 and
it
doesn't change the outcome of the game. But just overall, like I do think this can flip so quickly to where they are, to where they can go, because there are some things that look positive, but it is going to take some consistent work here to get them pushing in the right direction.
Yeah, and the thing, we talked so much on the post-game show about their trend and how they've played and how they haven't strung together those performances consistently enough to get on that run where they went on last year, and you're winning, you know, 70% of your games for a 20-game stretch. And if you do those things, you really put yourself in a spot where you're looking like a contender so far. They've shown peaks, right? We talk about the Florida game, right? The two Florida games even. We talk about the game against the LA Kings, the Colorado game. But it's like a handful of games that we talk about that have been, you know, 9 out of 10 performances, or performances that you can hang your hat on and say, like, this is a strong display. What we want to see is them be able to turn those into a stretch of, like, 7 out of 10 games, you know, where you're looking like a formidable high-end team. But the thing is, when you haven't been that team, and it's much like we talked about Pedersen's game, from where it was when the season began into where it's kind of trending towards, you don't just flip a switch and all of a sudden you're back at it. It's like a progression to get there. And what we want to see from the Canucks, especially when they come back from the break here, Bick, and before they hit the break for the Four Nations tournament, can they evolve and string together those 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 performances for like a substantial stretch of time that can give you the indication that they're more than just a bubble team?
Yeah, and we briefly chatted about this too. Even outside of, you know, Four Nations break and all that, it's as far as what sort of activity you want to see this team take on as far as the trade market goes, right? There's not a lot of runway here. We're talking about 16, 17 games between now and that Four Nations break. So they're going to – more like 20. But like they're going to have to solve some things here in short order. Like we're almost at the halfway mark of the season. Yeah. And we haven't really seen the truest version of this team for health reasons but also performance reasons. So it's a tough task all of a sudden for Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford to decipher, okay, what's necessary here, what's working, where can we go, what's the potential. Like all these things are kind of balls in the air right now for the management group.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what the Canucks may also do from a trade front is going to be fascinating. And for all the talk about Pedersen and Miller, I think the first thing we're going to see is this team make some sort of addition to the squad and strengthen the team, and then they go from that point on. And hopefully there's another level they can take as a team and really hit their stride here when they get closer to the second half of the year. I mean, this is 34 games into the season now, Big. We're 7 away from the halfway point. Like, it's getting to that point really, really quickly. Keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, 650-650. We have IMAC on the other side, plus we're here from Canucks captain Quinn Hughes, who played banged up, had 2 points in a 4-3 Canucks win over the Sharks. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now here's Eklund left wing into the Vancouver zone, hammered into the boards by Tyler Myers. It's Besser's 11th of the season, and we got a fight right off the faceoff. Tyler Myers has dropped the gloves with one of the Sharks. It's Barkley Goodrow. Myers trying to come around with his right. He's got the reach advantage, now throwing some short left-handed punches while holding the jersey. Goodrow trying to come around with the uppercut, now a windmill overhead swing, but he can't reach Myers.
Yeah, Myers and Heinen, you know, as a coach, you like that stuff, you know, stick up for each other. And that was a big moment for both those guys stepping in for us, fighting.
Couple big tilts, team coming together, a 4-3 win for the Canucks tonight against the San Jose Sharks, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We are going to hear from Quinn Hughes. We're going to break down the goals that happened tonight, and we'll get to IMAC. A lot to squeeze in the final segment of the show here tonight on the Post Game Show, Bick, but we get all sorts of texts into the text inbox. And we've got some pretty good ones here tonight.
If you think it's like the ones that we read are like wild and outlandish, think about the ones that we don't read sometimes. but we can, again, there's a nice holiday festive weirdness element to the inbox tonight.
There is. Do you want to read this one that just came in?
Sure. Right. We had the earlier call from Holden.
Holden and Poco, I believe, yes.
This one. Hello. Can you please give my number to Holden, who called in. Such a sweetie. Gave God the credit for the win with a couple of emojis in there. So Holden, you're getting fans in the inbox here.
Yeah, so Holden, if you truly want somebody to text you, then maybe we can play matchmaker here on the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Christmas miracle here. We're doing all sorts of things in the holiday season.
What's that? What's that popular show called? The new one, that something love.
I don't know.
They get together.
There's a lot of
whatever
reality love shows on right now.
Love is Blind. Love is
Shout
Blind.
Shout out Lena there.
Yeah, Lena came
who's
strong.
Working away on her laptop, like yeah. Not even aware, just turns around and says, Love is Blind?
It's cause, yeah, because there's like Love is Blind, like Brazil, Love is Blind, whatever. Love is Blind, Canuck Central Edition. That's what we're doing here.
So hold in, call back in. You can talk to Eddie, and maybe Eddie will set you up there. Also, this one, on social media, or if you saw this in your group chats or whatever, people texting you about a sign at the game tonight. Mm-hmm. Someone was sitting in the front row on the penalty box side. So we want to give credit to John from North Van, who says, I was the one that had the sign. It clearly gave the extra oomph to the two of them that had the night. That's JT and Pedersen with the mistletoe sign there. So happy holidays to all Canucks fans. That one's from John in North Van.
Yeah, there's some good ones, some Halloween edition ones that came in too. There was one earlier.
Halloween or holiday?
So holiday editions.
There you go.
Correct.
Get on script.
Yeah, I'm having a difficult time, man. We all need the break. That's like the new, you know, like it's the preseason for all of us. Yeah. It's a new joke for us here on the post-game show. All right, we'll get to some more of your text messages as the show goes on here. But before we get to Quinn Hughes' break, let's break down, you know, the way these goals were scored. We talked about the emotion in this game, the two fights, and Myers, what a massive hit. And we broke all that down, and the fight afterwards with Goudreau and also the Heinen stepping up and protecting Teddy Bluger after Ty DeLandro's dirty hit on him. But when it came to the actual goals that were scored, the first one was the San Jose Sharks, and it was when they had a 5-on-3. The Myers hit, it was clean, the Canucks were on the PK, but a bit later in that sequence, William Eklund, the guy who took the hit, draws a penalty from Derek Forbort behind the net after he steps on a stick and gets tripped up. They go on a 5-on-3, and if you get blown up by somebody, your best response is to pay back on the scoreboard, especially if you're a skill player. And credit to William Eklund, he absolutely pulverizes one, top corner, and nothing Thatcher Demko can do on this one.
Yeah, and you know the Sharks work it well. They kind of isolate him on one side. Granlund's able to slide that puck across. And in this moment, because it's Soucy, because it's Forbort in the penalty box here to initiate the 5-on-3, the Canucks wind up putting Suter and Bluger out there on the 5-on-3. So just the one D-man. It's Noah Juulsen. I believe Tyler Myers had even played the shift before. Mm-hmm. So he comes off as well. So Juulsen tasks the lone D-man on a 5-on-3. And yeah, it's set up perfectly for Eklund to just tattoo this puck. And he picks the perfect spot. And it was a tough one for Demko, moving right to left. And shot comes against the grain. And it was unleashed as
it
well.
It was. And it was the Canucks had two forwards on that penalty kill because both Carson Soucy and Derek Forbort were in the penalty box, and before Juulsen came on, it was Desharnais and Myers. So Juulsen being the lone defenseman on the 5-on-3, because I think they wanted to keep Quinn Hughes as far away from the PK as possible because he was banged up tonight. And obviously,
he was going to play enough with 25 minutes tonight.
No kidding. And that was a 3-goal lead in the third period too, right? I mean, that tells you how much usage he requires because of this blue line on this Canucks team. But nonetheless, 1-0 for the Sharks. The Canucks, to their credit, with Quinn Hughes spearheading it, come back and tie the game with Brock Besser getting the Canucks' first goal.
Yeah, it didn't take very long, about 2 minutes and 45 seconds for them to get back into the game at evens. And it's just another fantastic play by Quinn Hughes, right? He enters the zone, takes the pass from Brock Besser on a neutral zone regroup, and look, it looks innocent enough. There's only two Canucks entering the zone. Hoglander joins it late, so it's essentially 3v4.
Yeah.
They don't even have numbers in this, and three Sharks on two Canucks in front of the net. Brock Besser presents enough of a target. I don't know how Quinn Hughes threads this through because there's not much to see there, but he puts it perfectly on Brock Besser's stick, and it kind of scoops it and lifts up and over Askarov, and the Canucks are tied.
Yeah, and the Canucks did a good job of getting the game tied up at one. Then not a lot was happening in that game, and especially as we got into the later portions of the second period, it was the emotional part of it, the fights and the scrums and the feistiness was the most standout part of the game until Kiefer Sherwood scores the Canucks' second goal. And, you know, he gave a lot of credit when he spoke to us during the intermission, Bick, to Heinen stepping up and creating some emotion for the Canucks. And not too long afterwards, Teddy Bluger finds Sherwood, and I know there's some more good work on this play as well.
Yeah, the Sharks don't get it in deep, and it's, you know, Hoglander, right spot at right time. and kickstarts this opportunity. Bluger makes a nice play, hits Sherwood with speed coming across the blue line, and as we mentioned earlier, an 82.5-mile-an-hour wrist shot from Kiefer Sherwood beats Askarov off the rush, and that starts a string of 3 goals in a minute 10 for the Canucks to blow this game open.
Yeah, and did they ever right afterwards. And we know on Sherwood, we see that release. Like
it's good.
nice release, man. The guy can really rip the puck, and he's done it really well here so far with the Canucks. And the Canucks keep coming. This is where they storm and win the game, essentially. Elias Pettersson is first of 2 goals. And this one, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Connor Garland, getting to the dirty areas and getting in Askarov's face. And Pettersson, I know the thing you want to point out more than anything is how quickly he gets that shot off.
Well, just the decision-making too, right? It's a 3-on-2, gets that pass across to DeBrusque, and Macklin Celebrini does a good job here just harassing DeBrusque, taking away, you know, a prime opportunity. I'll fit in a prime reference for tonight.
Very good.
And it's a shot, still goes off, rebounds right into the slot where Pettersson is coming into. But you mentioned Garland, that middle drive takes defenders with him, opens that space for the rebound for Pettersson to latch onto, and he gets that shot off so quickly. Just wastes no time, picks up a leg, fist pump, as Rick Tocchet mentioned. They like to see that. Certainly the fans like to see it as well.
Yeah.
And that was his 9th of the season.
Yeah, and the Canucks, well, it's their turn to get on the man advantage. They draw one penalty initially, and it is Jan Ruda roughing against Teddy Bluger. And then they get a bit of a it's a delay of game after the Sharks took
they challenged,
and you know
Garland didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything, but I thought if they were going to call it back, it was because his toe was maybe in the crease, which I thought would have been tough, but it wasn't. So they get a penalty. The Canucks go on the power play. Then Mario Ferraro hooks JT Miller. He's a key penalty killer for the Sharks as well. The Canucks go up 2 men, and that's where Elias Pettersson unleashes that wrist shot.
Yeah, it's similar to what the Sharks did, right? Isolating one guy versus the goalie, and it comes across to Elias Pettersson after a couple of chances there, and just takes his time. It's different when you can dust the puck off and there's no pressure on you, because sometimes, you know, we've seen it this season where Pettersson is not quick enough to take that shot, but this one, nobody came across in time, and he picks that spot and just ripped it past Askarov for his 10th of the season. So that makes it now 5 players in double digits for goals, because that is his 10th of the year.
Yeah, that's good. That's strong. Pettersson obviously can do more goal scoring-wise. Hopefully these 2 goals get him going. And then coming up into the third period, Canucks had a 4-1 lead, and they get one back after a Cody CC shot. I know if it deflects off Juulsen before it goes in, could it have also deflected off Derek Forbort as well? Could have been a double deflection potentially
It was a lot for Demko to deal with on that play.
Yeah, so I think that was pretty – I mean, just a point shot. It's off the face-off. The puck comes across to the other side, and, you know, it's a pretty standard shot. It just ends up deflecting off 2 guys and goes in. And then the third goal the San Jose Sharks score, it's with under 5 seconds to go.
Yeah.
It's off a rebound. Luke Kunin.
A lot of scrambles.
It's a bit of a scramble, extra man. Like I said, the game was never in doubt in the third period. Very late that they scored the third goal. Nonetheless, I know they don't want to give those types of goals up, but, you know, he came away with the 2 points, a 4-3 victory over the Sharks. And the guy that we spoke about before the game being a game time decision, Quinn Hughes, and the head coach gave him a lot of credit, said, you know, he gutted it out and he showed a lot of resilience and coming back and playing this game. And I think that's something that obviously you wanted to see from the captain. We'll hear his thoughts in a second. But that was the game review. Spin and Win is on at your local Honda dealer this Boxing Week. When you bring home a Honda, you can spin and win up to $10,000. But hurry, offer ends December 31st. But Quinn Hughes, 2 points of the night. He gutted through whatever ailments he was dealing with, potentially a hand injury. And here he is post-game talking about getting the victory ahead of Christmas.
Yeah, very happy. I'm glad we could get the 2 points. I thought clearly invested right from the start of the game. And yeah, enjoy the next couple of days.
After some of the talk this week, how good do you feel for Elias to score a couple?
Yeah, I feel really good. I mean, you know, he's too good. He's going to break out at some point, and glad to get that he was able to do that tonight. And, you know, hopefully for him, he can enjoy the next couple of days like all of us and regroup and get ready to go.
Was that a second shot, vintage PD? Laser there?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just a goal scorer. He's got a knack for it and seen that a lot, yeah.
What about you? Talk talk pregame that you might be a pregame, you know, pregame decision that you might have got a little banged up in the Ottawa game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the break's coming at a fortunate time, and got 3 days here just to recover and regroup, and we'll see what's going on after that.
Fortunate for PD too, based on the fact he left in the third.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I haven't even talked to him, and yeah, I mean, you got to trust your body. 3 days can be a lot. So, yeah, leave it at that.
It could, again, you sort of touched on this, but going into this break, Christmas, with a win under your belt, a little bit of the pressure off the team overall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure anyone really focuses on the pressure. I think there's internal pressure for us to succeed, and that's the truth. I mean, coming in, we expected to be, you know, probably better than we were last year. Can't say we've, you know, accomplished that yet, but I think we have the group to do it. But in saying that, a lot of internal pressure, guys trying to push each other up the mountains, from management down to coaches to players. So yeah.
Was there a specific part of the game tonight that you really liked from the group?
I think we were just invested, and you know, I see Hines there and Izzy. Yeah, I like that.
On that first goal, as you're jumping up the left side, are you seeing both Besser and Hoglander crashing the net there? What are you seeing as you...
Yeah, I'm just seeing that there's traffic there. I see Brock Stick as a righty. Obviously, we've connected there a bunch of times. I thought I almost had Sherwood there, same play in the power play in the second. And I kind of am always telling those guys that I'm going to, you know, be in that spot at least once a game, beat my winger, and, you know, get back door for me, and I'll try to throw it there. And that's, you know, we talk about that a lot.
How important was that stretch in the second period where you guys put all those goals in and kind of separated yourselves? And how nice was it that those big moments went your way in this one?
Yeah, obviously huge. I mean, you just said it, separated ourselves there, and it won us the game.
That is Canucks captain Quinn Hughes tonight after a two-point performance helping the Canucks win 4-3 over the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, Quinn is getting a lot of love on the text inbox. Hussein from Coquitlam is asking us, when does he get into the Hart Trophy race? And he says, I was not old enough to ever watch Burry, but I imagine this is what it was like when my dad tells me Burry had a certain buzz to him, Hussein from Coquitlam. And he's not wrong. I mean, there's just another level that Quinn Hughes is at, and I don't think it's wrong to put him into that conversation of being in the Hart Trophy. Ultimately, I'm not sure he's going to win it, and I think defensemen have a hard time winning it to begin with. We're talking like almost 20 years ago, the last
Chris
defenseman.
Pronger in 2000.
2004, was it?
Oh, I think 2000, wasn't it?
It was 2000. So, yeah, you're talking about at least 20 years ago when Chris Pronger won the Hart Trophy as a defenseman. So it was 2000, 24 years ago. So it would be 25.
Still sharp.
It would be 25 years if he is indeed going to win it, if a defenseman is going to win the Hart Trophy next summer.
Well, so. Marty Nanaimo texts in here, 650-650. Fill in the blank. There are blank players in the league I'd rather have on my team than Quinn Hughes. So here's a little thought exercise for us here. I mean, we don't have to name the players here, but if you're just trying to map this out here, how many players in the league?
Well, for sure. I mean, you have Connor McDavid. You can go Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon. You put Austin Matthews there.
Yeah.
You could, you know.
I'm not sure I put Leon Draisaitl there.
I mean, that's sure. Four, you could yeah. Say, for instance. You can add some more, right? Yeah.
Probably not taking any wingers. Maybe Kaprizov?
Maybe. Yeah. Barkov?
Center, though.
Center.
But I'll
just
say
him.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of guys you would name before naming Quinn Hughes as the best player in the National Hockey League, so a fair point from him. All right, we'll get to more of your texts, and perhaps a couple before we get out. There's a nice Christmas-themed villain one I want to get to before we break here, but it's time to bring in the man we call the triple threat. He ran over. He has a few minutes for us before he's got run back and finish his column for the evening, a 4-3 win over the Sharks. You watch him on TV. You read him on digital. About to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
But I don't have time. Deadline.
Yeah,
my whole life has been on deadline. But, you know, it's a good thing because I would never get these stories written unless somebody told me when it had to be done by.
Somebody. That's a great title for your book. My whole life has been on deadline.
That's a pretty good one. You know what it reminds me of? It's like the procrastination before deadlines for university or, you know, your studies. Like,
last
I could never have the inspiration to write an essay a week or 2 weeks ahead. But 2 or 3 days ahead, oh boy, am I focused.
It's for me, two or three days.
Or the day, last day.
Yeah. How about 2 or 3 in the morning of the day that it's due?
My favorite was, yes, writing until like 3 in the morning, going to bed, waking up at 5, finishing it up before dropping it off at like 7 a.m. or 8 a.m.
Sounds like a poli sci class right there.
Pretty much. That or, no, English major. It's all writing, all essays.
I know.
All essays.
Sat is extremely literate.
Yeah. Or illiterate, depending on what day you catch me. But yes, enough of my literacy about
very
this.
Very erudite as well. Worldly.
Pardon me. Well, I can find an Oxford dictionary around here.
The most interesting man alive.
Yeah. Well, maybe on radio in this room for the moment, but that's pretty much it. You know, as far as
hey, Bick and I are here too.
Yes.
I mean, he knew what he said.
I said what I said.
Here as well.
Yeah. Well, Lena's just a cut above us all, anyway.
Well, yes,
so, yeah.
True.
On the game itself, what's the biggest thing that stood out to you? It's a 4-3 win over the Sharks. I know it's not the season momentum changing win. Pettersson had 2 goals. He did leave the game and did not return either. So what's the big takeaway from this game here tonight?
Well, that's so Canucky, isn't it? Like in right. A game where the guy scores twice. So he hadn't had a point in 6. So he scores twice, which equaled his output from the previous 16 games.
Mm.
And then he's hurt.
Yeah.
And has to go out. Quinn Hughes was hurt on Saturday, which we didn't know because the team told us yesterday that it was a maintenance day. Clearly, there was a little more than just maintenance going on. We weren't sure he was going to start, and then he plays. But this, it kind of epitomizes the first 34 games, doesn't it? All the challenges this team has faced personnel-wise, all the key absences. You know, we're not halfway through the season, and I would say that the adversity they faced is quadruple what they had all of last year,
yes,
at least already. And here they are, 17-10-7. And, you know, they're on 99-point pace. They're keeping themselves in the playoff race. I think it was, you know, other than my Canucky takeaway, which is going to be my lead on Sportsnet. So a lot of people in the rest of the country will be reading it. What the heck is Canucky? What's the Canuckiest Canucky thing that could happen? Apart from that, you know, they just needed a win. And the fact that it's the last game before the holiday makes everybody feel better. I talked to a couple of guys on my own after, and they talked about just it's a chance just to reset.
Yeah.
You know, you take a breath. Team's been through a lot. There's been a whole lot of noise around it. Just, you know, get away, reset. Be with your family, be with your loved ones, and come back recharged and ready to go. And, and hopefully they have a lot less adversity in the final 48 games. Did the math there on the fly. Final 48 games. And yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I thought I got it wrong. I added
here
it
to correct you.
I added it in my head, and it was 84, but no, it's 82. Hopefully, they have less adversity once they get back. But we'll see on Saturday. Is Elias Pettersson going to play? Is Quinn Hughes going to be healthy? Who knows? It's been that kind of season.
Yeah, it really has been, right? And I think, you know, we're hoping it is minor and he's going to be fine and he's going to be back and the break helps the team out and all that. And I just think as far as just the mood around the team, too, because of all the controversy, and you saw how the crowd reacted when Pettersson scored the goal. Like, this is a fan base that wants to support its star player, and it's like they're begging and starving for him to show something so they can all get behind him.
Yeah, I actually liked how Pettersson reacted, and I saw a quote from Tockett about that as well. Fist pump. You know, the guy who's so stoic, so cool, rarely shows emotion other than when he's talking to the media. you know, having that moment of jubilation
where
he couldn't help himself and pumped his fist after the first goal. Second goal, he was back to PD, just stoicism again. but yeah, it you know, that was a really positive thing. I think it's a positive thing, you know, Thatcher Demko, although his stats kind of get ruined a little bit in the third period, and especially the garbage goal with 5 seconds to go. I thought it was a good performance by him again, something to build on. I thought JT Miller took a step. You know, he played the most that he's played since he came back, probably out of necessity because the final, whatever it was, 16 or 17 minutes was without Pettersson. And he also, I think it was 14-4 in the faceoff circle. Like it was
14-6.
14-6, which adds up to 20.
Very good.
Which is 70%.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Good for you, Pick.
I have the
You
the
took
box
math
score.
At school, didn't you?
No, I took
reading comprehension. What did you study at school?
Like post-secondary?
Yeah.
Nothing. I was straight to broadcasting.
Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, no, that's not true.
But you went to broadcasting school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Columbia Academy, yeah.
it's a loose
term.
It's a broadcasting school.
That's a loose standard.
I did start for kinesiology, and I was like, what? That's not for me.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Kinesiologist. Bickness. Yeah. I can't even imagine. I don't know why I laughed.
yeah, what are you doing?
Literature.
I'm right here.
Literature major, Satyar Shah.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to do any physical.
At least laugh behind my back.
Physical heart, labor.
At least you have the beard for it, Sat.
Yeah, well, not right
I
now.
I can picture you pondering deep thoughts, scratching your whiskers.
Yeah, probably. That's going to be me in a few years.
Probably trying to figure out your NFL parlay for Sunday.
No, not parlays. What fantasy quarterback do I start? Okay. That's going to be the question for the final. I'm in the finals next week, so it's a big one for me. But enough of my fantasy.
A lot of good things
escapades.
Tonight. A lot
but
of
yes,
good things tonight.
There were.
The only really bad thing is Pettersson, and maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say about, like, we're spending so much energy focused on, like, team cohesion and quote-unquote risk, which feels overstated. But tonight, our takeaways have been there's a togetherness, like guys sticking up for each other and all that stuff. It's the actions are more important than the narratives.
Yeah, I think the guys have always stuck up for each other. Mind you, that's something for Dantanainen, who's never had an NHL fight, to initiate one without hesitation.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, oh, should I or shouldn't I, or he kind of got pulled into one.
A post-scrum thing.
Yeah, he wanted to stand up for Teddy Bluger and got involved, and Tyler Myers is just, he's got a ton of character. I know that at times he gets a lot of criticism, at times, he is chaos giraffe, but he is a hockey player's hockey player. And, he answered the bell for what was a perfectly clean hit, because if somebody had hit one of his players that way, he would expect the guy on the other team to face him, mm-hmm. if he asked. So I think those things are good. The sense I get, though, we always say we don't really know what goes on mm-hmm. in the room. We don't really know what goes on in the room. And my sense is the group is a lot tighter than what maybe we think on the outside with all this noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, the noise clearly made it through the soundproofing this week. Quinn Hughes saying, let's not beat around the bush. We all have seen the reports.
Yeah.
So they're aware of it. But, when I talk to guys, I remember Connor Garland saying something a couple of weeks ago, Vincent Desharnais saying something tonight, like within their group, they feel like they've believe in each other. They all want to win. They've handled a lot of adversity and they've handled it well. And they're not too worried about what people on the outside think or say, because they have a lot of confidence in themselves.
Well, and on that point too, right? And was this the week where they ripped the Band-Aid off? Everyone said their piece.
Yeah,
we move away.
Yeah,
we move
everything
on from it.
Kind of got out in the open, right? Like when, as much as I appreciate Quinn Hughes' honesty, and especially as the leader of the team, being mm-hmm. being that candid, it clearly also indicated that they are hearing this and they are feeling this as well. They're in the vortex. I think it was great that both Pettersson and Miller were so definitive in what they had to say about what they say is an imagined story.
Yeah.
It's not a thing, according to JT. So I think that added some clarity, and that diffused a lot of that for now. But ultimately, the best players on this team have to be better than they've been. Now, there's a lot of reasons why they haven't been that way, and especially if you look at, JT's ongoing situation, Thatcher Demko's injury, Brock Besser had a concussion. You know, there, and Quinn Hughes has not had any off nights. Well, he's had a couple, but he hasn't had the misfortune or hardships that some of the others have had through these 34 games. But, you know, there's been a lot of stuff, but the top end of this team has another level. And I think they recognize that, and they know they've got to reach that. You know, we've talked so often about depth, and it was a big theme coming in. I mean, they wouldn't have salvaged a lot of the games they've salvaged had they not had the bottom six guys. And I'm putting Kiefer Sherwood in there as a bottom six guy for now. He's played up the lineup. But, you know, look at what he's done. Look at all the points that Bluger has gotten. Heinen's had a couple of timely goals. Connor Garland, depending on how you want to categorize him, and of course he's played mostly in the top six this year after being on the third line all of last year. I mean, he's had key moments and contributions. You know, and so I think the team probably feels okay about where they are. They maybe aren't happy with how they've gotten here, that there's a lot of games they haven't been their best. There's a lot of adversity that's challenged them. But I think overall, having gone through what they've gone through, I think they're probably okay where they are right now, but they know that they have to be better from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Ian. And as always, fantastic work. We appreciate all your contributions here this season. And we won't say Happy New Year because you'll be back here again with us on Saturday. But best of the holidays, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thanks for all your contributions. And we look forward to reading more of your great work at sportsnet.ca.
Well, thank you. I don't know how I'm going to go 4 days without seeing you guys.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's like a road trip.
It will be tough.
We'll persevere. We'll persevere.
I appreciate the family in here. I'll enjoy my own family during the break. And I do appreciate, I'm not being flippant about this, I do appreciate everyone who tunes in and stays with us late at night, an hour earlier tonight, so people can get some wrapping done. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Thanks for listening.
Great stuff as always. Thanks to Bick Nazar. Thanks to Lena. Thanks to Eddie. All you guys doing great work here with us as always. Thank you all for listening. Ian mentions the family here. You guys feel like our family all the time.
100%.
So best of the holidays. Merry Christmas. And we can't wait to chat with you guys again on the weekend.
It's going to be a blast. Take your family in your arms this week, and we'll chat pretty soon.
Yeah, for those that are going through a tough time, I hope you find peace and contentment, and wishing you all the best and hopefully a better future ahead. Thanks for listening. This has been the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650.